Welcome to The Near Memo, a weekly conversation about search, social, and commerce. What happened, why it matters, and the implications for local. Hello again, everybody. Welcome to The Near Memo with David, Mike, and Greg, where we talk about all things local. And today we've got kind of an all Google local SEO session inspired in part by some of the recent user testing and research that we've done. Mike is going to be talking about sort of surprising levels of finder engagement, and David is going to be discussing local link building, and I'm going to be talking about some general SEO advice that Google is giving where you should ignore ranking signals, which is an impossible thing to do. So with that, Mike, let's get into it straight away.
Sure. So there's always been this question in local SEO of whether people go into the local finder or not. And I always assumed they just made their decision from the pack or from the high ranking organic. When we did this research with lawyers on the desktop, we saw actually a surprisingly high level of organic engagement, a little bit lower engagement with local, although even there we saw people click through to the finder. But in the medical research we just finished, we saw a surprising amount of engagement with the finder. I think of all the first click-throughs that we saw amongst users, 55% clicked into the finder, maybe 6% chose from the three-pack, and the balance, which is what 40% chose from organic. And not only did the bulk of users choose to go into the local finder, but many of them chose deeper results. I mean, particularly on mobile, but both on mobile and desktop, users scrolled a lot. And so the long tail is, as David said, very thick. 36.2% of all users made a selection beyond choice three. So being top one, two, or three, because you got 6% in the initial run and then some in the when people went into the finder, still 52% of the clicks occurred to the top three listings. But the long tail is much, much longer than I would have anticipated, going all the way down to, you know, 14, 15, 16 and beyond. I mean, people didn't stop. And so it was just shocking to me. And it just means there's a lot more opportunity than we thought in there.
If you want to see the slides that Mike is referring to, you have to tune in for local SEO to our session at Local SEO for Good, which can also be watched on demand if you miss the real time.
I will include broadcast. This slide in our podcast post in the show notes. Yes, that's right. So it just shows there's a lot. Now, interestingly, too, that one other interesting thing is that in law, Google, when you click through the local finder, Google shows images of lawyers primarily. But when you click through on the medical finder, you typically are seeing either location images or interior images as opposed to practitioner images, which I also thought was an interesting sort of shift in what Google thinks users are looking for in that. And it indicates to me that Google thinks more of these medical queries are navigationally driven than perhaps choice driven in terms of which practitioner.
We didn't explicitly track this, but I recall seeing fewer images in medical generally in that finder results than in legal. So I don't know. Can't really explain that because photos were
a lot of doctors don't have pictures.
Even more important.
They're definitely more important in medical than legal. And just a lot of doctors don't have their images up.
Don't have photos. I saw a lot of missing images in the medical field, like unoptimized, which implied to me that just a few images in medical would go a long way towards both three types, staff and practitioners showing some amount of diversity, people that look like the searchers, interior shots showing that your facility is clean and friendly, and exterior shots showing how people can get there. And those three shots seem to be the kinds that people were both looking for and Google was delivering. If you don't deliver exterior shot, Google typically will default to Street View, even if you have other shots, which is often an unflattering view of your business. So it's really incumbent in medical, if you're in it, to put some photos up there.
One of the reasons why people were so engaged with the Finder, especially in the medical research, medical category, is because people were looking for doctors with reviews. They were scrolling and scrolling and scrolling to find doctors that had a sufficient number of reviews and ratings that sort of crossed their mental threshold of what they wanted to see, which was very, very, very high. So they were going deeper and deeper and deeper to find those doctors that they thought were better. A lot of doctors didn't have reviews or had very few reviews, and that was one of the explanations for that behavior.
And the other was a number of people anecdotally said, gee, that's too far away from me, or I really want somebody. Although it was clear to me that they didn't see a choice of doctor as a lifelong decision. It struck me that people felt, they didn't express this, but I just got the sense that people thought they could get out of this if it didn't work out, sort of, you know, it wasn't a one in a lifetime kind of decision, which maybe law issue was. Maybe that explains some of the behavioral differences too. I don't know. But so moral of the story is, if you're not one, two, or three, don't give up. You're going to get your fair share of clicks. Still need to optimize your local listing. And if you're in medical, a few pictures go a long way. And not only do you need reviews, but you need a lot of reviews and excellent ones. The threshold was surprisingly high that people used. It was 4.8, 4.9 and up.
There's not many places to go beyond 4.9.
There's only one. Yeah. But.
Well, and then the paradox is if you get to five and you only have 5-star reviews, people think you're scamming them.
All right.
But so David, let's talk about local link building and your observations there.
Sure. We as part of this exercise, we did sort of a broad competitive analysis in the medical vertical. A couple of what I would perceive to be relatively competitive sort of keyword groups, and I think that there's two big takeaways. One of which I'll talk about in my upcoming SMX Advanced presentation in Berlin next month, which is when you're doing keyword research, and you know, I don't know whether this falls under keyword research or competitive analysis, but to me, keyword research in local is worthless if you're not actually analyzing who is ranking for a given SERP. And the reason for that is the SERP localized? That's the first question. Like, if you're a small business, small local business, can you even compete for a very high volume phrase that might show 250,000 national searches every month? But if that search is not localized, you're never going to beat out the, you know, Mayo Clinics and the Johns Hopkins of the world. So why don't you orient your site around even a very popular term if you don't have a chance to rank for it? So that's kind of number one. It's just less the degree of localization. And then the second piece of that sort of, again, keyword research / competitive analysis is, this is not a slight against any particular SEO tool out there, but I haven't seen one that actually looks at the sites that are ranking and classifies them as local or national in nature. And if you're just looking at sort of keyword difficulty scores or just looking at domain ratings, you know, sort of broadly of the top 10 organic results, you're really not getting the nuance of what's been true since the Venice update in 2012, which is that Google is giving an artificial boost to, in this case, you know, independent medical practices, small medical practices who operate only in the city that's being searched. And so generally speaking, those practices had a very poor link building profile, and even in what I would have perceived to be two fairly competitive, high search volume medical fields, the local businesses that Google was choosing to rank for these competitive terms in urban markets had generally very poor backlink profiles. There were only, I would guess that the median number of what I perceived to be a sort of high quality link, not a directory, not a sort of garbage guest post on a meaningless blog, quality links like from a local charity or the local college or university or a local newspaper article or even a national newspaper article about a health and wellness topic. Like most of these sites that were ranking had maybe one to two of those quality links. And so I think Amanda Jordan talked about this at her MozCon presentation, that you know, Rickety Roo is starting to categorize links in this way. And I think if you look at the quality of links for most local businesses, it's still a very low number. And I think that sort of piggybacking on what Mike was saying with the sort of thickness of the tail and the finder results, you know, I think that it also speaks to, hey, if you just do a couple of things right, like you're going to get a, you know, some balance of these sort of longer tail engagements and organic results as well. And it doesn't take, you know, I forget exactly when I tweeted this, which I'm no longer active on X, but several years ago, I tweeted like the average number of, you know, quality small business links is 2 or something like that. And that was probably 8 years ago. I don't think it's changed. You know, I think that link building is still ignored by a lot of small businesses. And really, like, this research sort of surprised me that that A, that's still true, and B, that it is bizarre that it's still true, because it only takes a couple of good links to rank even in very competitive categories still. So just a sort of missed opportunity by a lot of small businesses. And I know link building is hard. I know it's difficult to scale. I know it's difficult to build agency processes around it. But I think if you're leaving it out, you're not really doing your clients the best service. So,
well, unless you're working with a local SEO, most business owners have no idea how to do link building or what link building is, or, you know, how to get links. So it's something that's really low on their list of comprehension and priorities, even though it shouldn't be.
And most local SEOs think that directory building is, because it's easy to scale, many of them do it. The smarter ones do figure out how to do bespoke links on a per market basis. But it's harder to scale that for them, but the better ones do that. So if you're looking at a local SEO agent, see, that's the question I would ask, is do they help you do that, right? I mean, to me, that would be the dividing criteria, whether you want to be doing business with them.
Go ahead, David. One point about directories that I would make that we saw is that, you know, there's this sort of debate about citations and whether or not citations matter and where your citation should appear. One of the things that we saw from user research was in certain categories, directories really matter. So in medical, for example, a directory like ZocDoc is very important. And there are a couple of others that also rank and where people legitimately engage with them. So, you know, it's a mistaken position to completely dismiss directories. You really need to do it on a kind of industry by industry basis and see where those are ranking. Not talking now about citations entirely, but also about user engagement and user behavior, because we did see people engage fairly deeply with certain kinds of directories, ZocDoc in particular, in the medical vertical.
The flip side of that is it was not at all true in legal. We saw almost no engagement with legal directories, and where we did see engagement, it was largely a pogo click. Oh, this is, you know, this is not something I want
to
look at.
Well, that's the point right there, is that you can't either say they matter or they don't matter as a blanket statement. You really have to do it on a kind of industry by industry basis and see for yourself what people are doing.
Yeah. Go ahead, David. Sorry.
The other comment I would make is that I think that and I don't know if you were parroting me or whatever, but my thesis that citations are less important is largely applies to these big horizontal sites that are largely in the citation networks of major players. So like yellowpages.com and Superpages, right, and CityGrid and all of those, like those sites don't rank anywhere anymore and users aren't going to engage with them. So the value of a citation those sites, I would posit, is still extremely low. But the value of a citation on a site that ranks for the queries you want to rank for and users engage with in particular, and medical, is very, very high. And that hasn't really changed over the last 15 years that I've been doing this.
Well, in 2015, I think there, you know, citations were regarded, I think, in the local search ranking factors as the top local factor, one of the top three. Yeah. And that's obviously changed dramatically. But there's been this shift in the industry to sort of dismissing directory citations almost entirely. This doesn't matter. You don't need to pay attention to it. I think you do need to pay attention where users are engaging with these directories. And, you know, we saw that firsthand in this research. Doesn't matter in certain categories, it'll matter in others.
And I think there may be an offhanded signal of user engagement. On a localized query, if you are seeing more local websites as opposed to directories, it's probably an indicator that the directories have been pogoed a lot. In other words, that Google sees that this engagement drops, that, like what we saw within the legal space, whereas in medical, people actually engage. And so if it's a query that generates a lot of directories, it's probably one, not an area where you're going to be able to compete, and two, it's an area where people are likely engaging with those directories and they become more important. So I think there's a reverse understanding you can take away from the search results that you do.
Okay, so now kind of moving on to a broader topic, which is Google's directive or advice to SEOs that they not pay attention to ranking signals. For some time, Google has been arguing that we should create content for people, hence the helpful content update, and not for search engines, and that this sort of focus, all this tactical focus on particular ranking signals and tactics that we're talking about right now is really not as important as a kind of holistic approach where you're building good content, quality content for the user. And, you know, the world is a place where peace and love prevail. It's the right advice at the highest level. Create quality content for people, solve real problems, deliver good information. But it strikes me as incredibly naive from a sort of a industry standpoint, that Google has created lots of incentives, both consciously and kind of unwittingly, and it has created this world that it is now decrying. And people are compelled to do these things in order to rank, which is critical to business success. So there's this kind of strange, it's not exactly a paradox. I mean, Google has created the situation that it now is kind of critical of.
And there's the contradictions of a dialectical relationship.
Yes, by Mike Blumenthal, available.
They don't call him Professor Maps for nothing.
Yeah. And the exact same thing happened with reviews. They create a marketplace, the importance of them, they accentuate them, they make them a ranking factor, and then all of these markets illicit and otherwise.
And they wonder why there's fraud.
And then they don't do anything about it, right? They take years and years and years for them to even come up with an algorithm that can filter some of this stuff, and then it filters the wrong stuff. So it's like, you know, it is very, very weird that they create these marketplaces, illicit marketplaces, or marketplaces that focus on the wrong thing, and then turn around and say, be a good person.
This is... Yeah, I mean, I think to some extent, Google's hands are tied, right? Because they can't reveal too much, and I'm not defending it in any stretch, but they can't reveal too much of the algorithm, or else spammers will sort of take advantage of it to the detriment of all users. And at the same time, there's only so many signals that their algorithm can look at. And so, you know, it's not like they have that many options to like assess content quality aside from signals like links and click-through rates and those kinds of things. Like, it's a pretty known set of factors at this point. So I just think disingenuous isn't a strong enough word, but you know, this sort of
hypocrisy sort of, is a word you could
hypocrisy,
use.
Hypocrisy, yeah, maybe. But this kind of tone and these kinds of instructions has been around, again, for as long as that space. You know, all of the sort of contentious link building panels with Matt Cutts back in the day. I mean, this was the same general stance that he took, and has kind of been the party line from Google for a long time. So I just think, you know, and the problem is that, you know, if you haven't been an SEO a long time, you're sort of taking everything Google says as gospel. If you're an executive who doesn't understand SEO, you're probably taking everything Google says as gospel. And that's, you know, that's not great for the industry, and it's not great ultimately for the performance of your website. So,
So one question, rather than just sort of continue to complain, which we could do at length, one question is how does Google actually solve this problem? How does Google actually get people to create high quality content for humans and not for search engines? What would you,
they find a way to reward that, right? Algorithmically. But the reality is, like, even if a solo doctor writes this amazing guide on plantar fasciitis, it's never going to outrank the Mayo Clinic. So, like, that's just, that advice is just not true.
Well, I mean, is this just a sort of an unsolvable problem then?
I think at least in the current search paradigm, it feels pretty unsolvable. I think that there's, who knows exactly what's coming out with, you know, SGE and all this stuff. I think some of the EEAT user rater quality guidelines are intended to go in this direction where, you know, they're looking at this in highly critical, you know, your money or your life categories, and real people are making the evaluation of, like, is this a good piece of content or not? And if it's a bad piece of content, it drops and other pieces of content have a chance to compete. But the internet is such a huge place. And again, there's only so many signals algorithmically that Google can use to determine credibility just to be in that game of, like, potential results. So I don't know that it's necessarily solvable, but I do think what is solvable is for Google to be more honest with webmasters and marketers with some of these kinds of comments.
Do you think more transparency? I mean, David, you said that more, kind of openness about the algorithm would be problematic for reasons that Google has long stated.
That's fine. Like I said, I'm not encouraging Google to, like, open up its algorithm, and, you know, maybe regulators will at some point require that. But
Europe, it's starting to happen.
Yeah, I'm not encouraging Google to do that at all. What I am saying is, like, come out and say, like, hey, we try to reward high quality content, but just because you create a piece of content for users does not mean it's going to rank. And you really do need to look at things like search volume and the number of backlinks you have and the quality of those backlinks to assess whether you should be creating content in this category at all and how you should be structuring that content. Like, that's a much more transparent and helpful piece of advice rather than, the rainbows.
But it goes in the opposite direction. But it goes in the opposite direction that they're going in. I mean, that would be sort of back toward the signals and back toward the ranking factors. And that what they're trying to do is get entirely away from that and say, oh, these ranking signals don't really matter. It's really all just about your holistic approach to content. Yet that's just transparently not true.
Yeah. And to great, go, move, you know, back amazing into the, that that's the rant. Goal, right? If that's the company goal internally, is to, like, move the algorithm in that direction. You know, again, that's another way they could frame this, but to, like, completely beggar the reality of the current situation with these comments, it's just, it lacks credibility, and it's, as you said, you know, potentially even hypocritical.
Yes, so we have to say something positive before we end today, because that's a downer, that's a bummer, man.
I guess I don't see it as a bummer because, so I think, like I said, it's been Google's track record for as long as I've been in SEO. So it's not necessarily a downer. It's just reality.
Yeah, you're a realist.
I'm a realist. You're a realist. Right.
Well, I would say that the research that we've been doing is really interesting and exciting, and we'll be presenting it at Local SEO for Good today. And there's a lot of nuanced things, as we talked about in the beginning with Mike's discussion, that we're learning about user behavior that, you know, are not generally part of the conversation, which operates on a higher level. And so I think that that's something that I'm very encouraged by and interested in. And, we're learning things that we didn't know from the sort of general local SEO discussion. So that's a semi-positive thing. That was my attempt.
Good work.
The weather is getting better in the San Francisco Bay Area. Yeah. And for everybody who's listening to this ahead of the American Labor Day holiday, have a great weekend. If you're elsewhere in the world, you too. We will not publish on Monday in observance of Labor Day, but we will be back next week with more insights and occasionally humorous takes on local search issues.
Thanks for joining David, Mike, and Greg. To stay on top of the latest developments in local, subscribe to our newsletter at nearmedia.co. We'll see you next week.